Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 121, part 2, Our Instincts Need Purifying. Today is Sunday, November 15th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue, in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join our online community. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janina@pastorpaul.org. And in the show notes, you're going to find scripture links to those scriptures that Pastor Paul uses within his message. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for part one and part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. Have a great month of November, starting it off on All Saints Day, November 1st. These are the messages that you will hear this month on Pastor Paul's podcast. A Love Better Than Wine, Our Instincts Need Purifying, Old Things and New Things, and Old and New Side by Side. So there you have it. The month of November will prove to be the best yet. God bless you and have a great month.
A lot of times when I work with people, you have to take all those qualities that they have and turn them around for good. Say amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. But God took me and he bridled me and he says, get into harness with me. It's easy and it's light. In other words, God does not make a mouse out of a lion. Still has a roar. What kind of a lion would that be that went squeak? Huh? What kind of a lion would it be trying to get into some kind of a mouse hole? Still got an appetite, still got power, still got character, but now it's working for God. That's the beauty of the whole thing. Guy came in today, he says, you know something, he seen me, I got a hold of this, and I got a hold of that, and I got a hold of these different things. He says, you know, you kind of remind me of a con artist for God. Well, I says, that's okay, I never heard it quite put that way, but that's all right. It's all right. God took my old, whatever you want to call it, shim sham, turned it around. Say amen, somebody. He didn't destroy it. Some of the most lovely people that I know, former prostitutes, that had a perverted love, that's turned around by God, are some of the most lovely people. God didn't take away that love from them and didn't take the sex away from them, but he turned them around and he put it in the right perspective. See, what we try to do is completely change ourselves. We put on a long black dress and we try to make ourselves as ugly as sin itself. Huh? And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. We try to smother it. It doesn't work. See, God doesn't want that. God says, I want to put you in harness. I want to take your old pugnacity. I don't want it to be destroyed, but I want it to become new. And so after I'd walked in the Lord for about 3 years, I thought, you know something? I haven't changed a whole lot. But then the Lord says, take a look at the things that have been done in your own life and just take a look back here. He said, I'm not going to completely destroy you. You still have characteristics. I love you before you were even the you you are now. I loved you when you were the old you. Because I saw you as the new you before you were that you. You? Does that make sense? Don't ask me to say it again. I started dealing with my ego instinct. How many in here got ego instincts? All men have ego instincts. Huh? They want to prove how strong they are. And that isn't all bad. Praise God. I don't want men to prove how weak they are. I like to get a little work out of these guys. But I had this ego instinct to excel at this and to excel at that. And then I started to think, well, you know, I've got to become selfless. And somebody told me, he says, you got to become selfless. Did you ever try to become selfless? Don't try it. Jesus wasn't. Are you hearing this? Paul wasn't. And you aren't going to be. I think that people that say, I am selfless, they yell out. Well, they're just trying to prove something. Self is trying to exert itself that it isn't fair. The more it tries to disprove it's there, the more it proves it's there. Does this sound nuts? Did you ever try to prove that you weren't around? This isn't me! I'm selfless! This body is just strictly for God! I'm selfless! No, that's not true. What are you trying to prove? Keep it up, and people wish you weren't around. But this is the kind of things we go through. Trying to assert that we're not here. People wishing that we're so. What hypocrisy. I listen to some programs on the radio and I say, now here's a person that doesn't realize that it's still a person. It's talking like it's some kind of a marble statue or something. Selfless. Has no mercy, no forgiveness, no grace message. What's he got? He's got a self that he's trying to pretend there is no self. There is a self there. It's buried. Well, see, the question is, what kind of a self is there? Look at Jesus. Meekest of men, and yet the most assertive. He renounced power, refusing to be king, but yet self was satisfied by gaining the most amazing power ever exercised. There we have Paul, who became a servant of the churches. Their troubles were his troubles. That is the secret of all of Christianity, the very essence and the very seed of truth, is to deny yourself, go into the ground, and reproduce 30, 60, 90 times fold. It's dying to yourself. Now, you just don't lay down and, oh, I'm dead, I'm not going to, and you just grit your teeth and everything. You just lay down and die, spiritually speaking now. That is the essence. And the essence of all of Christianity is living your life for someone else. And then you're free. Did you ever try to live your life for yourself and act like you weren't living your life for yourself? And act like you were, you know, actually a lot of times we do that in little ways. You have to catch ourselves. Well, I'm doing this for others. Oh, I've been called to do this for other people. God has called me. Are you sure? Do you know when selflessness comes? It comes a little bit at a time. You know what selflessness is? You die a little bit at a time. Now, I'm 52 years old. Now, when I'm 53, there'll be less of me than there was when I was 52. And I'm just trying to get a point across. I'm getting closer to the kingdom of God by dying. But it's still the same me inside of this body that's being changed day by day, step by step, an inch at a time. Now, I don't really know what's going on. All of a sudden, I know that I've grown in Christ, and God has given me another diploma and says, here, you've passed this grade. What? You are saved by the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord, and that salvation is an ongoing thing. There's nothing that you're going to, you know physically, know mentally, know. It's something. It's a transformation that takes place day by day. Day by day, and God uses anything He can to cause you to change. Well, maybe you've got instincts that are, you know, you're easily wounded. And so, what's going to happen? You're going to get wounded. I mean, you're going to get kicked in the seat of the pants until you change. Is that right? You look like they did to me. Uh-huh. God is going to send people your way to do it to you. And then after you can't take it no more, there'll be a let up. When you've built up enough strength, He's going to send them after you again until you change. Until you say yes to the Lord. Now, is anybody in here going along with what I'm saying here? I'm the only one in here that's crazy, I suppose. When people's troubles become your troubles, when people's sorrows become your sorrows, when people's needs become your need. That's what I'm talking about. A lot of times we have a need. We have a need to lift up ourselves by meeting the needs of others. No, that's not it. That's ego. That ego must die. It must be crucified. But when it does die, it's resurrected, and it's a brand new resurrected, let's call it ego yet, brand new. Transformed, translated. Do you ever notice on these calendars, they'll have some little cutie, she has on a little skimpy bathing suit, just a, you know, tea towel of some kind, I don't know. And next to it, she'll have a great, big, huge, pipe wrench. It weighs about 400 pounds. And that's how they sell pipe wrenches. And cars, and cereal, and candy bars. Woo! Are you hearing this? And so by the very fact that we have all those things, we got problems. Now I think then we try to, you know, repress these things. We try to close our eyes to them. We close our eyes to, and we're fearful of homosexuality. We try to bury that thing, don't we? No, we don't need to. We need to put it into the light. And we need to let the love of Jesus Christ heal. Because only the Lord Jesus Christ can heal. Do you know why people hate homosexuality and lesbians and whatever, perversion of all kinds? You know why they hate it? Because somewhere in the darkest recesses of their mind, they have the same instincts. And they don't want to look at themselves. Say amen, somebody. Of course, now sex is beautiful when the two normal, natural people get married and they have an expression of love. Isn't that right? I mean, our sex drive is a force that is creative. It can be used to create things, can't it? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old sex instincts have passed away. Behold, they are become new. They might have been turned around by the devil, but now they become new. Don't try to repress them. They'll pop up them at the worst times. So Jesus calls these sex instincts in unto the upper room, and he starts to deal with them. And they're sitting now in God's light. And God starts to deal. Getting kind of quiet in here. Hey, it's wonderful what God can do. Why should we keep it a secret? Shouldn't we shout it from the housetops? And shouldn't we minister to all creation? That's what the Bible says. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Oh, with eyes wide open, he'll come to you. It is no secret, oh, what God can do. Why do we keep a secret? Our God is able to deliver. And it doesn't matter what the instinct was, doesn't matter what perversion, doesn't matter what's wrong with a person, God will deliver. And like I said at the beginning of the message, there is nothing that's uncommon to man. Nothing. Nothing will befall you that is not yet common to man. Oh, God. Ooh, and then God started to deal with my pride. And my curiosity. How many in here are curious? Aren't we curious people? You ever hear somebody? Oh, you just want to hear what they have to say so bad. Huh? Well, God told me, he said, I'm not going to destroy your pride. Have a high pride, not a low pride. Curiosity, instead of prying into others' affairs, instead of meddling in their business, should make you pry open the kingdom of God and seek out the secrets of the Lord. And be curious about the Word of God. So God turns your curiosity around, puts it in the right direction. Well, what does this mean in the Scripture, Lord? Well, let me in on this. What was going on at the Mount of Transfiguration? What was happening, Lord? And he turns all of these instincts around, some that we're trying to do away with. No, they're there. But this purified pride that we have would save us from a whole lot of nothing sermons, wouldn't they? Spiritual deadness. I think the last thing that the Lord dealt with me on in that 9.5 months of deliverance, and I'm still going through deliverances. Now, I never think that you're not going to ever be, just quit being delivered. Huh?
Well, I have reached such a spiritual position in God that now I am delivered, and all I'm going to do is sit upon a velvet pillow and wait for the Lord to return.
That's not the way, because when you're sitting on that velvet pillow, you're going to be sinning in your mind. That's the way it is. The last thing the Lord dealt with me with was herd instincts. Thing instincts. Can a thing worshiper be converted? You ever been over to somebody's house and they have 9 million knickknacks? Things, people. We go out. I went over to one guy's house, and I'm not going to mention any names, but he was a tools freak. He had tools he'll never, ever, ever use. See over here, this is $5,000 worth of tools. This is over here, that's $8,500 worth of tools. And tools. I said, do you ever use any of these tools? Well, what do you use them on? He couldn't answer. I said, well, do you ever borrow them out? No, nobody touches my tools. People don't return things, you know. Well, I said, well, God, what good are they? And all these tools, won't you let me borrow one of your tool things here? No, I know you got all these tools. I don't have no tools. Can I come over sometime and borrow some? No, buy your own tools. These cost me a lot of money. I said, yeah, but what? They're not doing any good. This man needed a deliverance. And God sent me over there to help him out. Are you hearing this? Oh, God. Woo! Let me close up this message. Old things, instincts are passed away. Behold, they have become anew. And the man got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And about 2.5 years of deliverance on down the line, he gave away all his tools. Because the new you caught up with the old you, took over the old you, it became new with new instincts that were turned around. He still liked tools, but he liked to give away tools. He didn't like to keep tools. How many heard this message tonight? Now we are working for the kingdom of God, and we're working for God. We got brand new instincts, brand new drives, brand new things. I was with a friend one time. I didn't know this was his son, but anyway, he called up two kids. He said, get up on the fence there. He's going to prove a point. And he stood way back, and he says, all right, jump! And the kid, woo! And he caught the kid. And then he told the other kids, okay, he says, now jump! And the other kid froze. He wouldn't jump. He says, you know what the difference is? I says, no, what's the difference? That one there belongs to me. That's my son. The other one doesn't. That's the way it is. When we come in, we learn to trust in Jesus. And our hope is in God. If you're in here tonight and you're suffering some kind of a deliverance, and you condemn yourself and you're feeling out of it, and you have your ups and your downs and your highs and your lows and whatever like that, remember, the grace and the mercy and the compassion of God is changing you one little step at a time. Isn't there a song like that? One step at a time, dear Jesus, one step at a time. How many are going through some kind of a deliverance right now? You're being delivered daily. daily. And a lot of times when you think nothing's happening, everything is happening. You know why? Because you're not in it. When you're not in it, God can move. But then you come to a point when you start to recognize these instincts got to change and you start to agree with God. And where two or three are gathered together and agreeing in God, something happens. I have a very dear friend of mine that is agreeing with me right now in this ministry, praying with me, and things are happening. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. And in the original Greek, it doesn't just mean in the same room. It means in their very molecules of their body, in the midst of the spirit, in the scheme of things, in the plan of things. God gets involved, and there's an excitement. There is such an excitement right now in my ministry that the Lord has given me in the feeding of the poor and the ministering of the gospel of Jesus Christ that everything that I've gone through and the changings and the deliverances of myself has made it all worth it. All of it. Because you know, in the end, if God gets the glory, that's all there is. Yeah, that's what makes you happy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why God has to get all the glory. And then you get all the joy. The joy of the Lord. Right now, I can say, I can really say this in my ministry right now. This is about the happiest I've been in my ministry in the whole of the 13 years that I've been in ministry. Because things are opening up for what God has showed me to do a long, long time ago. You know one thing I know? God loves people beyond their sin. Oh, now you've told people to go out and sin and it's all right. I didn't say that. The Bible does say, if any man say that he was without sin, he is a liar and there's no truth in him. Friends, we have sin bodies. I mean, even our breathing is sin. Follow what I'm saying? But we're being transformed and translated every day. Don't be too hard on yourself. God is working on you. He can be hard enough on you. You don't have to help out. He knows how to take, and he knows how to do it. You know, you ever been with somebody and you've been terribly insulted, but you don't know it's you've really been insulted till you're two blocks down the road? And you think, well, no, I never even thought of that. Well, the nerve. A lot of times when God works on me, you know, it catches up with me later on what he really wanted to do to me. I thought it was for somebody else. Always I think it's for someone else. Oh, God, wisdom, wisdom. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, you're all wisdom. He wasn't talking to that person. No, he was talking to me. Isn't there a song like that? It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Huh? Don't we always think someone else is in the need of prayer? Oh, it's them. It's them, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Nasty, perverted people. Oh, it's them. It's them, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Don't we? Because, see, we thought that we were at such a pinnacle of success and just growing so mightily in God that just look about, Lord, at the filth and perversion there is. Oh, wow. And that's about the time you're getting ready to fall flat on your face. Right? I mean, that's a hard thing, but it's the truth. The only difference between Christians is some are on a different level. Some have grown a little bit more in God, but you know the person that's on the second step is just as perfect as the person that's on the tenth step, because God sees you perfect for a second stepper as much as he sees the person on the tenth step perfect, because you're a perfect second stepper. Just like you're a perfect two-year-old and a perfect 50-year-old. They both can't be the same age, but they're perfect where they're at. And that's why God sees you in your spiritual walk as perfect. You don't see yourself as perfect because you're going for the 50-stepper when you're only a two-stepper, or maybe you're in the basement, I don't know. But God sees you where you're at right now as perfect. Isn't that perfect? Isn't that perfect, precious perfect? Stop and think of that one time. He sees you as perfected. I knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. I came to save you. And I see you as perfect. Don't you see your kids as perfect? Someone comes in, your kid just dumped all my flower pots off the second floor. And then, you know, your kid comes home, bawling, oh, he slapped me. Ah. Huh? You don't see your kids like that. You see them as perfect. Oh, you chastise them when they get in the house. And you spank them. But yet, when they're laying there in their little baby buntings, they're perfect. And you feel guilty about paddling them. Oh, yes, you do. And you know, God has just the same kind of a heart. He has to chastise, but he still is a loving God. Bottom line, God is love. That's the bottom line to every message. If it doesn't come out that way, it's off. It's just off. Because the Bible says God is love. Now, are we to meddle with God's love and say, Lord, Lord, yep, yep, Lord, over there, yep, oh. You don't even know what's going on in people's hearts. Being down here and working with people from all walks of lives and people that are coming up out of, oh, really hard things. You know what I mean? No home, no love. I mean, you know, you see people. I was at a cafe and I was looking at all these people and they were sitting there and they were, and I won't even mention what their labor was because it doesn't matter, but they had, you know, lowly jobs. And they were in there. They weren't educated. But they were so beautiful. And they were so free, I got convicted. Now, these guys are not educated. They're not makers of big money or anything. They probably can't even read and write. And God sees them as so precious and so perfect. And how is he going to see me if I look at them as something below what I am? Now, I see those people every other day. I talk to them all the time. You know what? Found out they ain't so dumb. I got a whole lot of messages off them kids. See? Oh, I tell you, we're so wrong when we judge out of our own human love. The love of God passes all understanding. What I can't understand tonight is why God can really love me. See, because I know me, and I know the old me, and I know the old me that's fighting with the new me. And God loves me. Still. Isn't that wonderful? Is there anybody in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? You can know him tonight. And all you got to do is take a 30-second prayer and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. That's as simple as it is. Well, you can complicate it. You can get down and walk on your knees to church for a whole month. You know what I mean? So you'd be deserving, but you wouldn't deserve anything but a new pair of pants, some new kneecaps. Because God loves you right where you're at right now. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Are you young guys, are you both saved back here? Right here? Okay, right here? Are you saved, young man? Are you born again? Okay. How about back here? Are you born again? You guys back here, all you people? Where are all you people from, anyway? Where are you from?
I live
right here. Okay, North Minneapolis? North Minneapolis. Where are you from, dear? Jasper, Minnesota. And where are you from?
Detroit Lakes,
and where are you from?
Crystal.
Crystal.
South Bend, Indiana.
South Bend, Indiana. Now, isn't that a crew? I mean, what are you doing way over here on the north side anyway? Who brought you over here? Those two. Well, hey, this is where they live.
So if you're